Hello and you're very welcome to this week's Roscommon GAA Memories, and this week we're talking about the 2001 Ladies All-Ireland Football Final between Roscommon and Kildare. And to take us through it, we have, as always, Ray Lennon. Hello Ray, how are you?
How are you, Aidan? How are you doing? Good, very good, thanks.
Well, that's good, that's good. Yeah, so a historic day in ladies football in 2001 when they had a good victory over Kildare, a very good Kildare team as well.
That's right, Aidan. Roscommon won the Junior All-Ireland in 2001, as you mentioned there. And the game took place on the 30th of September 2001, and it was played before the All-Ireland Senior Final, which Laois beat Mayo. You know, so Mayo were lost a couple of All-Ireland Senior Finals before they went on to win one, or they won a few of them, you know, with Corris Daunton and all that great team that they had then. But Roscommon beat Kildare by 118 to 8 points, Aidan. And in the Connacht Final in Ballinasloe, they beat Galway. And then the semi-final, they beat Limerick by 114 to 4 points. And in the final, then, they ran away with it against Kildare. But also, Roscommon ladies have a proud tradition. And they won the Connacht Senior. We've won two Connacht Senior Championships in 1977 and 78. And they got to the All-Ireland Final on both occasions. So we can maybe come to that in a few minutes, you know. But the Junior Final was played, as I said, on the 30th of September 2001. And it was described as a faultless display in Croke Park by Roscommon in the TG4 All-Ireland Ladies Junior Football Final. Kildare was simply blown away by Roscommon's potent cocktail of graft, skill and deadly finishing. It was the consummate team performance by Roscommon, yet a number of individuals deserved mention. In particular, full forward Eamor Casey from Ballinamean, who had a personal tally of 1 goal in 5, and she was the scorer in chief of a lethal Roscommon inside forward line. So Eamor Casey came from Ballinamean. She was the sister of Sean Casey's, that played for Roscommon and for a while at the senior and played on the minor team in 92. So yeah. Eamor Casey and co took the scores, which put Kildare to the sword, but it was the hard work of those further out the field which laid the foundations. Roscommon enjoyed a match winning stranglehold in midfield where Anne-Marie Carley dictated proceedings. Now Anne-Marie Carley was from 4 Mile House or Kilbride, and she was a great midfielder. She had lots of running in her, very, very athletic. So her ability to win possession and attack at pace put Kildare on the back foot time and time again. So from the third minute, when Casey hit Roscommon's first point, Roscommon were pretty much totally in control for the game, Aidan. Halfway through the first half, they led by 5 points. And despite Kildare's never-say-die attitude, the match was slipping away from them. Kildare forwards were finding it tough against a resolute Roscommon defence. And at half-time, they had only scored 3 points, all from Tracy Noon. So Roscommon led by 10 points to 3 at half-time. And 12 minutes in the second half, Roscommon stretched the lead to 11 points. And the match was over as a contest. So Kildare did fight back with 3 unanswered points on the trot, but a magnificent goal from Casey stopped their brief revival. So for the last 15 minutes, Roscommon were in cruise control and hit Kildare for 4 more points to finally win by that 14-point margin. So they were promoted to the Senior Championship then for the following year, Aidan, and they would be facing the likes of Mayo in that. So the papers were saying that, judging by the performance in the final, that they would be competitive, and I think they were competitive. Now, they didn't win a kind of championship at senior level because in Connacht at that time, Mayo were tremendously strong, Aidan, you know, and then Galway, yeah. Galway went from junior to senior very quickly as well. I think Galway won the All-Ireland in 2004. You know, Annette Clark and all those players that Galway had, they were brilliant as well. So Galway, I remember being at the Connacht Final in 2004. Galway beat Mayo in the Connacht Final over in Pearse Stadium, and that was a big shock because Mayo had been in the Senior Final for a couple of years, you know. But Mayo then rebounded and started winning All-Ireland themselves as well. So, yeah. Given the scores for Scotland, Eamor Casey got 1-5. Regina Carley, she was the sister of Anne-Marie's, she got 6 points. Cathy McCann at 2 points. Anne-Marie Carley, 2 points. C. Graham, N. Began, A. Hanley, a point each. And there was the team was A. Finneran, Christine O'Malley, I think she's from St. Bridget's, was cornerback. E. Mannion, L. Tully, that's Louise Tully. She's from my own club here in Kilglasgales.
Very good.
Oh, Louise is a great player for Scotland for many, many years. Must have 15 anyway. Then O. Kyo, Annette McGeaney, Mary Beads, I think it was Nicola Began, wasn't it? not mistaken. Yeah. Anne-Marie Carley, S. Carty, Diane Dolan, Christy McCann, I think it was Claire Graham, Emer Casey, and then Regina Carley Murray was on the top of the left for Roscommon. Now, Dermot Earley's daughter, Noelle, became a good player for Kildare, but that wasn't at that stage, Aidan. Remember a few weeks ago we mentioned in the Dermot Earley tribute that she became a good player for Kildare, but she wasn't on that team in 2001. Yeah. She'd be too young that time, but it was a great win for Roscommon. Really, it put Roscommon ladies football on the map. You know, to go up to Croke Park and win the Junior All-Ireland was a brilliant achievement, and the team were competitive enough in the noughties, but they just came up like Aidan. Galway and Mayo were just so strong, you know, in the noughties. Yeah. It's a bit like the male footballers, Galway and Mayo, were both strong in the noughties as well, which was a difficulty for Roscommon men's footballers too, you know, there's urgent. So, but it was a great victory, and like they won the cup, and it was great. But just give you a little bit of the history of Roscommon ladies football, Aidan, you know. Just the early years, you know, the first board at the request of Michael Nocton, and he was the secretary of the Listenamult Club, Aidan, in Roscommon Town. And the first meeting took place at Michael's house in Listenamult on Wednesday, the 26th of June, 1974, to form a county board. And at the first meeting, there was PJ Lennon, Elizabeth O'Brien, Patrick Burke, Margaret Flanagan, Marie Holland, Anne Nocton, Patricia Kilroy, Anne Crean, and Michael Nocton. And the officers elected were chairperson Marie Holland, secretary and treasurer Michael Nocton, PRO Michael Nocton, and a set of rules are drawn up and plans for the future. A good deal of progress was made with the commencement of a county championship, and Clannagale were the first champions in. They beat Ballintubber at the CBS field in Roscommon by 3 goals and 6 points to 4 goals and 2 points. So that was 1974. So then in 1975, delegates went from Roscommon to the National Convention in Thurles, and the delegates were Marie Holland, Margaret Flanagan, Anne Dolan, and Michael Nocton. And Marie Holland was elected Assistant Secretary of the Central Council. You know, so Roscommon's Young Development County Board were already making inroads at national level. And then, Aidan, at county level, the Roscommon senior team started off, they had a debut in 1975 against Mayo over in Newport on the 1st of August. And both teams were marched to the playing field, you know, behind the festival band. And Roscommon won by 1-5 to 1-4 on a memorable day.
That was great.
So it was, we'll just give you the team, because like the first Roscommon ladies team that ever played, you know, so we'll name out the team. 1975. So, like, Olive Duff and Stephen Pulse was in goals. Helen O'Brien of Ballintubber, Kathleen Gannon, Listenamult, and Pauline Keane and Kiltoom. Then Mary Dignan, Clannagale, Mary Mulhern, Listenamult, Geraldine Morris, Kiltoom. Midfield, Elizabeth O'Brien and Margaret McManus from Clannagale. Then right at forward, Margaret Flanagan, Ballintubber. Centre, Mary Derwin, Listenamult. And then Maura Galvin, Listenamult, left half forward. Right full, Teresa Kelly, Clannagale. Full forward, Carmel McManus, Clannagale. And left full forward, Mary Nicholson, Clannagale. So Clannagale, Listenamult, and Ballintubber and Kiltoom dominated the team, Aidan, you know. So the semi-final that year was at Hyde Park, and Galway were led by a senior Irish soccer international player called Nono McHugh, and they beat Roscommon by 2-1 to 1-3 in a great match. So they only lost by a point, and it was proof that Roscommon had really made a name for themselves, you know, that they were an up-and-coming team in ladies football. And an under-16 team was also initiated in 75, and Clann won the first ladies under 16 championship in Roscommon. So like there was great progress made at that stage, Aidan, you know, and four Roscommon girls were named on the Connacht team. Olive Duffesy, who was supposedly a tremendous goalkeeper, Kathleen Gannon, Anne Burke from Tulsk, and Mary Derwin, Listenamult. And then my own club at that time, Aidan, would have been St. Barry's. That was my club in the 70s, because there was a split then in the 80s in St. Barry's. All right. And Kid Glass broke away from St. Barry's, and I would be in the Kid Glass area of it, like, you know. But St. Barry's is just about 2 miles up, about a mile and a half up the road from me.
So
like,
they'd be the nearest rivals.
Well, they would be, but they would have been sort of our parent club originally, you know, that sort of way. It was like, and like, it's just up the road from me. I know all the guys in St. Barry's up the parish boundaries, just up the road about a mile, you know. So we're still good friends with them. And St. Barry's were managed by a man called Parks Reynolds, and Parks was a great mentor for a lot of us growing up. He was a great football man. He was a selector on the minor team at Roscommon in 81, 84 and 92 when they won the Connacht Championship. So he was a selector with us in 92-8, you know. And St. Barry's became a great force in Roscommon football in ladies. And they had great players, like all neighbours of mine here, like Carol Brown, just up the road. She was a fullback. New Legan, she was a guard. She was a great free taker. And Mae Fallon from the village, she was a halfback. And Trina Morden, she was from across the bridge in Leitrim, but she played for Roscommon. And they were all on the Roscommon ladies team that won the All-Ireland in 1978.
So that would be a great sense of pride for your area then, to have players like that.
Absolutely.
From the area available in such a successful team.
Brilliant, Aidan. Absolutely brilliant. Like, they're the only people in my area that have won senior All-Irelands. You know, like, it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Like, Carmel Brown, she's a teacher. She's up just a mile up the road. New Legan, not far from me. She was a guard for years over Mayo, Ballyhawn. She's back now living at home.
And was that club senior or was it intermediate? You know, in the ladies' section,
Senior, Aidan. They would have been very strong. And there would have been no team across the bridge in Rooski. Across the bridge in Rooski into Leitrim. So Trina Morden, she was from Annaduff, which is just across the bridge from us in Leitrim. She played for St. Barry's and she played for Roscommon. So she's a Leitrim one, but she's a great player. And she's now living in our parish. She's married to Patrick Maguire. She's now Trina Maguire. So she's a great football woman. She worked in the factory during my summer holidays for many years. So Trina's great, great football enthusiast, as is her husband, Patrick. And Patrick's brother, Michael, would have been the chairman of the county board there for a long time. You know, he's involved with the Kilmore Parish. So then Strokestown became a strong club as well, Aidan, in the 70s. And their manager was Bridie Shields and Mina Martin. So they had fine players like Madeline Tracy, Pauline Gibbons. We'll come to Pauline Gibbons in a moment. Terry Shields, Ursula Conneen, Margaret Shields and others. Now, Pauline Gibbons is an interesting character. We'll come to her in a moment. So the 1977 convention was held at St. Coleman's Club in Roscommon and was attended by Tony Kenny, the national president of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. And I think Tony Kenny was the former Roscommon footballer in Clannagale. And at that meeting, the treasurer reported a credit balance of £59.70. So they were living on a shoestring budget, if you like, you know. So sponsorship was by the Morris Mulcahy Band. They got some sponsorship, you know. They ran a 300 club draw, and then a major push was put in 77 to bring high honours to Roscommon. So lots of county challenges were undertaken in senior and under 16, and also Roscommon players figured on the interprovincial team. Connacht beat Leinster in the interprovincial in 77, but they lost to Munster. But in the senior inter-county championship, Roscommon beat Mayo at Ballyhadreen by 1-5 to 1-1 on the 25th of July 77. And Pauline Gibbons and Elizabeth O'Brien were brilliant that day at midfield. Now, Pauline Gibbons was from Strokestown, Elizabeth O'Brien was from Clannagale, and they were brilliant. And in the Connacht final then, they met Galway, so a repeat of the 74 or 75 final. They met them at Dunmore. But in the meantime, the under 16 team won the first Connacht final, beating Mayo at Hyde Park by 2-8 to 1-2. But in the senior replay, Roscommon beat Galway at Hyde Park by a point, 1-6 to 2-2. So that was brilliant. So Roscommon had two teams in an All Ireland semi final.
That was great for that year. And I'm sure a lot of those the girls that would have been involved in that minor team and indeed the Roscommon senior team would have been involved in generations of Roscommon ladies teams after that as well. They would have went on, and of course it's great to see how well the ladies game has come on in Roscommon. I mean, you look around the county and you see all the great clubs, as you say, Clannagale, St. Bridget's. See, Roscommon Gales have a ladies team now. You know, it's great to see it. And of course in the ladies game as well, they tend to you know, senior teams and like the adult teams, they have players as young as 16, which kind of brings them, which brings those young players on when they're playing with experienced players. I mean, you look at it nowadays, you have Jenny Higgins, so you know, you have a lot of the girls now at minor level probably involved in the senior panel as well. So to have gaining experience from the likes of Jenny Higgins, from a player like Jenny Higgins, would be a great benefit to them nowadays, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and you couldn't have put it better. You could not put it better. Like the young players coming forward and playing with the more experienced players, it's great in any setup, and particularly with the ladies team, you know. And another thing, just point came to mind, there's a lot to be said that the ladies football is more attractive than the men's game. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of free flow in football. They can pick the ball off the ground. And
that makes it quicker as well, actually. That alone makes it a quicker game.
It does, Aidan. And do you know the hooter system as well? If the match is stopped for an injury or whatever, the clock is stopped, you know, and it takes the pressure off the referee that they don't have to be watching the clock or watching for injury time, and that everybody knows how long is to go. Because a lot of frustration, I think, in the man's game is that they mightn't be sufficient. No, it's improved in the last couple of years, I have to say, at the top level. You know, you now see injury time of 6-7 minutes in the man's game, whereas before it might be only 2 minutes or 3 minutes. But now they're given 30 seconds for every substitute. You know, they're given proper time for injuries. And I have seen times where the injury time has gone up to maybe 7, 8, 9 minutes, and rightly so, you know, because it cuts out the time wasting and like the old gamesmanship. And I think the ladies' game were years ahead of the man's game by having the hooter and a timekeeper stopping the clock to make sure that the full value of the 60 minutes was utilised.
Of course, and another rule as well, I think, in the ladies' game is as well, which I think is an interesting idea, is, you know, if you get a yellow card, it's a sin bin, so you go off for, is it 10 minutes,
and that's then right, yeah.
the player comes back on again. So, you know, if a player does do a dirty tackle, they do get a punishment. Like, I mean, for your team, like if we were playing, for example, and we got a yellow card and we got sin-binned, 10 minutes is a long time to be down a player. Like, so, I suppose really from that point of view, you know you wouldn't want to be off for 10 minutes, so you'd be trying not to get a yellow card. Whereas, you know, in the men's game, you just get the yellow card and you can play on, and then if you get another one, then you're off. But I don't know, like with the black card have worked in ladies football.
I don't know about the black card, Aidan. I think the ladies, like the men's
game. I never was convinced about it in the men's game anyway.
I think it's very unfair. Like you train, say, for 6 months of the year, 7 months of the year, and you get to the first round of the Connacht Championship. And next thing, you pull a man's jersey after 30 seconds, where he's going by you, and you pull his jersey. And the referee turns around and gives you a black card. There's your game over for one indiscretion. I think it's very unfair. Yeah. Like it doesn't punish the team. It just punishes that player. You know, at least give him a yellow card, give him a second, give him a warning. You know, or give him a chance. You know, because I don't think the player should be punished like that for one indiscretion. I think it's very harsh.
If it was like a dangerous indiscretion, like around the neck or something, because that is a kind of, the black card is a bit silly in that sense, like, because every player, every ref is going to interpret it differently. Like, you think, like, oh yeah, a black card if you know, for a high tackle around the neck. But there's, as we know, since it has come in, yeah, a black card was given to a player, and it was never a high tackle, and then there's been high tackles that have happened, or you know, around the neck, and they haven't been punished.
That's right.
So it's kind of a grey area, yeah. But that would have been another interesting thing. Would be the mark, and you know that's in the men's game. How would you see that happening in the ladies' game? Would it benefit the ladies' game?
I think it would. I think it would be a good addition. If somebody can, like we always talk about, I always go back to Gerlach Nan when I used to listen to him doing analysis on television there, and be always talking about a forward that can win a ball, you know, that comes into him. That if the midfielder wins a ball, he just looks up and hits it into the corner forward or the full forward, and the full forward gets out in front of his man and catches that ball over his head or in front of him. You know, I think it's a great addition to the game, because forwards winning their own ball is so important, you know, for the success of a team. And a lot of managers, I know I've made this point before, are sort of reluctant to trust their forwards to win the ball and try to sort of move the ball up the field from the half-back line, you know, carry the ball the whole way and then hand it to the shooter to score, you know, that sort of way. And I think it's aesthetically, looking on, it's very boring to watch at times, because it's continually move the ball, a running game, a hand-passing game. I personally like to see half-backs getting the ball and delivering it in early into the forwards, and if the forward can win it, you know, over his head or win it in front into the chest, he deserves a free shot, I think, you know. And if he wins it, if the ball is hopped in front of him and he wins it, brilliant. He has to lay it off or to go for his own score. But if a forward can win a ball into his chest or over his head, I think he deserves a free. And, you know, I think it's a great, very good game.
That's a skill that has been kind of missing to an extent, is that, you know, as a fan, when you go to a game, you love the high ball, a player jumping up in midfield for the kick out, jumping up and catching it in midair, it's a brilliant skill. And like, as goalkeepers ourselves now, of course, a high ball is part of you can get a lot of high balls coming in on you during the game. So it's mostly kind of midfielders where you see the high ball. But I think it's kind of gone more, the high ball can be anywhere now, really, can't it?
Well, traditionally, you used to see the full backs catching the high balls, but there's less balls being kicked in high. But Kerry used to kick it in high, and still do. If they have a target man like Tommy Walsh or David Clifford, they have no problem kicking it in high. Do you know, like in the 2014 final, in the first minute, he kicked the high ball in, and Paul Geaney caught it over Paddy McGrath and scored a goal, you know. So, like, the high ball in is still a very, very potent weapon if you've got the man inside that can catch it, you know, and if you've got a good target man. I personally think a good target man is still very valuable in the game. I was going to make the point, Aidan, a few minutes ago about the goalkeeper kicking the ball out of her hands in ladies football, about bringing that into the man's game, but I wouldn't advocate that in the men's game, because the very point that you made, we'd lose that high art of high fielding in the middle of the field then if we brought that in, you know. So
yeah,
I think it's better leaving the kick out. I'd leave the kick out as it is in the men's game. So
yeah, that's it. But when you look around Roscommon, as I was just saying there as well, you know, the great work that's been done, and of course, like in the men's game, you have, you know, former players. You see Michael Finner now with working with the ladies, you know, former county.
Yeah.
There's both male players and female players. You know, it's great to see them getting back involved, at that level. I mean, you know, I interviewed there Fiona Galvin there a couple of weeks ago. She gave a great interview her home club was St. Bridget's, and she was saying, like, she played county as well, you know, it's great that there's, you know, when you finish playing, that there is those opportunities, you know. Fiona, when she finished now, she just got involved with the club, and then she was asked to get involved with the county, and now she's obviously involved in the ladies game at the under 16 ladies game. Now it's unfortunate this year now, that's, you know, could be a short season if there is, be lucky, I suppose, if there's a blitz due to the way the fixtures have been done. But, you know, there's great work, and now of course there's academies and development teams, and of course the advocacy of TG Cahir now. It's great to see the interest now, the attendances at ladies games, even from like provincial right up to all Ireland, you know, there's a huge increase in fans attending games. I think it's thanks to TG Cahir, they've really caught the imagination. And it really, like you just said at the start there, really is a lovely game to watch. And there isn't too much pulling and dragging in it either, you know. It's just a natural game, and, you know, high balls and low balls, there's a good mix of skills in it.
I think it's a great game, Aidan, personally. Watching a game there, when was it, Saturday? It was a rerun of Kerry and Mayo in an All-Ireland semi-final a few years ago, and it was played down in Birr, and
I saw that, actually. That was a great game.
I watched it, I thought it was fantastic, you know, but it's a very, very fast game. The players, you know, you don't see the pulling and dragging in it. The great sportsmanship, and I just think it's great. I watched most of that game. I just came on it and watched right from, you know, right to the end.
And there isn't much dirty. There isn't dirty play in it. You know, you never see much dirty play in the ladies' game.
Oh no, look, I think it's a great game. You know, I think it's like, I see it there when I was in Donegal, like the Donegal ladies team, really, really strong team. You know, they won the league and they got to semi-finals, won a few Ulsters, and watching some of the games, you know, was absolutely brilliant. And I think it's very enjoyable. It's very enjoyable to watch, and you know. Yeah. You're going to get two honest teams playing nice fluid football. And, like, as I said to you, just give you that example of the Kerry, a Mayo game. Kerry were losing by 2 points at the time up, and they got the 2 points to win it. You know, losing by 2-12 to 2-11. And then they got 2 points at the end to win by 2-13 to 2-12. It was absolutely brilliant. You know, Mayo then had to score a point from 60 metres. There's only 2 seconds on the clock. So the minute the ball was kicked, the final whistle went. But great to see the players playing, like, for, I think it was a lady called, I can't remember her first name, O'Sullivan playing for Kerry. She was a brilliant midfielder. And of course, Cora Staunton, Claire Egan, Sarah Rowe for Mayo. Great stars of the game, you know.
I think in Connacht, and I suppose the ladies game in general, back in the early noughties, you know, when Cora Staunton and those other really serious players on it, they kind of set the bar, really, didn't they, in many ways, for the ladies game, but, you know, because they were winning consistently.
They did, Aidan. Like, the one Mayo won four All-Irelands. They won 99, 2000, 2002 and 2003. And that game that I mentioned a moment ago against Laois, that's the only one they lost. There were five finals and they lost that one in 2003, or 2001 rather. So, like, they were a phenomenal team, Mayo, you know, like Martha Carter, Claire Egan, Cora Staunton, you know, they were just a phenomenal team. And then Galway came in and won the All-Ireland in 2004. And then in 2005, Aidan, would you believe this? Cork had never won an All-Ireland Ladies Championship up to 2005. And then they went and they won 11. Right? They won every one of them from 2005 to 2016, apart from 2010, when Dublin beat Galway.
Yeah, so really, in 2010. In the last 10 years, it's kind of been between Dublin and Cork, really, hasn't it? Like, for all Ireland's, like.
Yeah, from 2005 to 2019, Dublin and Cork have shared out the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Dublin have won 2010, 17, 18 and 19. They've won three in a row. And Cork won them all from 2005 to 2016, except 2010. But look at that Cork team. What a team they were in. You know, Breach Corkery, you know, Angela Walsh. You know, they were a phenomenal team. All the players that they had, like, you know.
She was great. She actually was a dual player as well. She played camogie as well.
That's right, You know, they were just phenomenal, Cork team, and their manager as well, Eamon Ryan. Like, he was a great mentor for them right through that time when they won all those All-Irelands. Like, he was a great coach. And of course, then they were back in the final in 2018 and Dublin beat them, you know, so the wheel had come the full circle. You know, the pendulum.
And of course this year as well, last year I should say, you know, Dublin did the double. They won them, obviously they won the men's and the ladies, so that would have been a lovely, and I think Dean Rock's girlfriend, you know, there's a few of the lads that played for Dublin for the men's team, you know, they had girlfriends on the ladies team, so it was a special year for Dublin last year winning the men's and the ladies, you know.
And Jack McCaffrey's sister was playing as well, Sarah McCaffrey. She played in a final there a couple of years ago and scored a couple of goals, you know, come in as a sub. So, you know, Dublin have a phenomenal team. They're just so strong in every department. Like, and as I said, they've won the last three. They beat Cork in 18 and they beat Mayo in 17 and Galway last year. So Galway have won one in 2004. They won the All-Ireland. You know, they came from junior ranks to win the All-Ireland in 2004.
I suppose bring it then looking at Roscommon now, you know, we've always had very good players, you know, Jenny Higgins and a number of other players, you know, very, very good players. And I suppose really in the league, when you look at their performances in the league and the championship, you know, they've been so close on numerous occasions, you know, like winning Connacht titles. And then, you know, they just came up against, you know, in recent years, came up against such a very good Meath team, you know, at intermediate level. Obviously, you have to win the intermediate intermediate All-Ireland final to go up to senior, obviously. But, you know, they were just unlucky against Meath on, you know, on both of those, on 2 years in a row they came up against Meath, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm not 100% certain, Ed, but they like Michael Finneran, what a great man to have coaching, you know, like he's got great CV in football, a great player for Roscommon for many years, but just some of the Dublin, especially mentioned some of the Cork players, Aidan, that won 11 All-Ireland, like, you know, like Deirdre O'Reilly, Breach Corkery, Breach Stack, Geraldine O'Flynn, Juliet Murphy, Rena Buckley, Angela Walsh, Nully Cleary, you know, like, there were something else, those players, you know, they were just amazing.
And some of them were dual players as well.
They were, of course, yeah.
To keep two sports going at county level and club level takes a serious amount of fitness and a serious amount of dedication.
Forgot to mention Valerie Mulcahy as well, like, you know, one of the most famous.
Yeah, very good as well, yeah.
You know, one of the most famous.
It's great to be able to see them, like, you know, but it's as I was just saying there, like, it's great to see the attendance as it came, of course. That'll be cut back this year now because of COVID, but, you know, last year now there was a huge crowd on a very, very wet day.
Yeah.
And still there was a huge crowd, which is a testament to both teams that they had set the imagination for the fans, like, you know, that they, you know, you just knew when you saw the two teams who was in the All-Ireland final, I suppose you knew that it was going to be a quality game and that was going to attract it. But I suppose I just said it there a few minutes ago there, the great work that's going on in Roscommon, like, you know, in the ladies game. You look around at the clubs, Michael Glavy's, Clannagale,
Roscommon
Gales, Kilglass Gales,
like our club,
Lord Edwards.
Our club shocked St Bridges a few years ago, Aidan, in the county final, in the senior final. I think it was, I can't remember rightly the year, but it was an amazing victory, you know, that came from.
I was at that game, actually, I remember that one.
Up through the ranks, so they deserve great credit. I think even last year, our club won intermediate Kilglass. Yes,
and Kilbride as well. Kilbride is another team in the ladies' game as well that are doing well. So it's great to see the progress. But I suppose really, when you look at the coaching now that's going on and the development teams, like Ollie Colgan now from Clannagale has been a great man there doing great work in the ladies' game. And, you know, Jenny Higgins is doing great, giving great experience to the younger players as well. And of course, there's a number of minor players involved in the seniors as well. And Decky Walsh here from Roscommon, he's involved with teams as well. So, you know, it's great to see it going. And of course, you know, at the younger level now, there's minor A's and minor B's. And, you know, there's a great pathway for ladies coming through, even from very young, like a club level, and then to getting into county level as well. Like, it's great to see it. And I think really that the future is bright really for Roscommon football as well. And, you know, over the last couple of years, they haven't been, Roscommon haven't been too far away. Like, they've been quite unlucky.
No, yes, Aidan, as man says, the work, as you said, the work's been done, and I must admit, I'm not as familiar with Roscommon ladies at the moment, but I hope to get familiar, you know, with more and more being, you know, having been away for so long, but, it's brilliant to see it, Aidan, and long may it continue. And, like, looking at it from my own sister's point of view, like, when they were growing up, the ladies' football wasn't available to them, like, in the 90s, there wasn't that much of it, and they didn't have the opportunity, but it's great for the girls now that there's so much. Every club, you know, has facilities for a ladies' club, which is brilliant, you know, and long may continue. But I was just looking at some of the Mayo, just to mention, shout out to some of the great Mayo players, you know, Denise Horne, she was a great goalie, Marcella Heffernan. Do you remember her? Christina Heffernan were great players as well for Mayo, Jenny Greenan from Monaghan was. And Anya Walls from Waterford, they were really famous players in the noughties. And then, like, you come in then to the Dublin team now, and, like, you got some incredible players like Lindsay Davey, Niamh McAvoy, you've got, Ciara Trant, the goalkeeper, you know, you've got Siobhan McGrath, Lauren McGee. You know, these are tremendous, tremendous footballers.
Of course, Lauren McGee is, you know, she, they're, I think Johnny McGee's daughter, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay,
I think.
Yeah. And then Carla Rowe from Dublin. You've Carla Rowe from Dublin. You've got Sarah Rowe from Mayo. Two tremendous players. Noelle Healy as well. She's an amazing corner forward. Sinead Ahern for Dublin. Nicole Owens. There's a great player from Mayo, Aileen Gilroy as well, and Amy Mackin from Armagh. And I have to give a shout out to Trasa Doherty from Cairn Dun and Donegal. She was an all-star in 2000, and Aileen for ladies, Donegal won the Ulster Ladies Championship. Sinead Goldrick from Dublin as well. So these are, they're household names now, Aidan, again, you know, but there's always been household names like Fiona McHale from Mayo, you know, Cora Staunton, Martha Carter, these ladies, Annette Clark from Galway, tremendous, tremendous players, you know, Lindsay Davey, Angela Walsh. So all we mentioned there, just brilliant. And let's hope that in the next year or two, Aidan, Roscommon will have these players up as all-stars as well when they're being given out at the end of the year, you know, so.
That's great. And of course, as we know, that with Cora Staunton and Sinead Goldrick, they were actually over in Australia playing Aussie rules for professional clubs. So a different sort of lifestyle. It's your, instead of like over here with Gaelic, where it's, you know, part time and you work during the day, that's actually your life. It's your, you know, everything is provided for you. You know, you just, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I saw a documentary once. I think it's Cora Staunton documentary, and you know, the day-to-day routine, and like the way everything is done, and fitness level, and the care you get, and you know, and I think I've seen there in a report today on the news, on sports news there, that you know, Sinead McGoldrick is kind of holding off and making a decision whether she's going to go back to Australia. She was offered a new contract, so there's more. Of course, you want these, you know, as a fan, you know, if you're a Mayo fan or a Dublin fan, you like these players to stay and play for Dublin or play for Mayo or whatever. But from a player's point of view, like you and me playing, we say, you know, the men's game, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, that you had that opportunity that you could go to Australia or something, you know, to play professional sport, different lifestyle and the whole lot, you know, it would be great. But it's great to see those opportunities as well, you know.
Well, Aidan, if you look at it, we're talking here about 1977 and the ladies team, you know, Roscommon, you know, what we had in 1977 and what you have now in 2020. It's just incredible to think that, like, Cora Staunton and Sarah Rowe, you said there, Sinead Goldrick, all these players have now the options of going playing professionally in Australia, which is just incredible, you know, and brilliant. Mm. And coming back to the Roscommon, 1977-78, which was if the men's football team had the glory period of 43 and 44, the ladies in Roscommon's, if you like, golden period was 77 and 78. And in 77, Roscommon beat Mayo in the first round of Ballyhadreen on the 25th of July by 1-5 to 1-1. And Pauline Gibbs and Elizabeth O'Brien were brilliant, we've said that. Yeah. And then they won the Connacht final in a replay, and the under-16s had won their Connacht final as well. So around this time as well, Marie Holland and Michael Nocton were two of the Roscommon delegates to have talks with Con Murphy, then president of the GAA, regarding the development of the game. And the relationships with the GAA and Roscommon were always good. And Dr. Donald Keenan arranged a meeting between Michael Nocton, the Roscommon PRO, and Pat Quigley, the PRO of the GAA. The meeting took place at Croke Park and was most helpful, and Roscommon were fortunate in the realm of publicity. John Costello, the Roscommon champion editor, gave the game plenty of publicity locally and had results in the daily papers. Working hard at local level were club PROs and the county PRO. An interesting item regarding the dedication of the county teams and the desire by the county board to leave no stone unturned in having the maximum training was the decision to use Craig's rugby pitch for training under lights. Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah. In 1977, Roscommon ladies were training under lights. Like, that's probably ahead of the footballers, you know. So they were thankful for Craig's rugby club, that they were happy to allow the girls to play and train under lights 2 nights a week, and for 2 months the county teams trained there. Isn't that amazing? So shout out to Craig's.
That's a good idea. And you see as well too, I don't know about maybe that far back, but I know like in latter years, kind of the late 80s, early 90s and things like that, Craig's had the ladies teams at the club as well. So maybe they had that appreciation for the ladies side of things, and they wanted to, you know, kind of when it came to the Gaelic, it was another thing, it was a nice gesture from Craig's rugby club.
Absolutely, and fair play to them. And it's another area to look into, like in terms of the GAA doesn't allow Gaelic pitches to be used for other sports, but you get the rugby club allowed the Gaelic. So another day's work. But look at the GAA have their own rules and has to be respected. Anyway, to make a long story short, in 77, this is a brilliant story. Roscommon beat Galway in the senior Connacht final, and Pauline Gibbons from Strokestown was a player of incredible skill. And she left the Roscommon team after the Galway win to join the Augustinian Order of Nuns in England. Would you believe that?
All right.
And consequently, the team had to travel to Kerry for the All-Ireland semi-final without her. And the semi-final took place in Castle Island between Roscommon and Kerry, and it generated a lot of interest in Kerry, where the county were considered favourites, you know. So Roscommon went down to Kerry and they shocked Kerry. And credit goes to Olive Duffy, the goalkeeper. She made two penalty saves in. Now, I don't know if you've ever made one penalty save in your life, did you? Or did you make two?
Oh, I tell you, here's a good one. I remember at minor level, we played a friendly at club level, Roscommon Gaels versus Kilbride. Now, Eddie Dohan won't like me saying this one, but, you know, I was brought on in the second half, and, you know, it was myself and Paul Muldoon were the two keepers.
Yeah.
And it just so happened where, it just so happened, like, the penalty was given against us. And I actually, he took the penalty, like, obviously, as we know, he was a county minor at the time. And he took the penalty, and I actually saved it.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, this is great, you know. But then the guy that was on, the came back, and I said, instead of punching it out and punching it away, he actually accidentally punched it in there. But I saved the initial shot, like the actual penalty itself, but it was just a rebound. The way it fell, you know, so it was awful. Because it's hard enough to save a penalty without your own player kind of knocking it in. But, you know. Well, I love penalties, but
how come you didn't hold it in?
Well, it was low and hard, you know, normally I would have, you know, it was just kind of was a stretch. It went kind of wide as well, so I just got my hand to it, like, you know. And whatever way it came, it just went straight up in the air, and the full back trying to punch it away, but he punched it into the goal. But
yeah. Anyway, great stuff. Yeah, but Olive Duffy made two saves from penalties that day, and would you believe that? And Madeline Tracy scored two great goals, and it resulted in a 2-3 to 1-2 win for Roscommon. Isn't that amazing, down in Kerry?
Did you ever save a penalty yourself?
I did. I saved a penalty in the 1992 Connacht first semi-final against Mayo. Against Leitrim in Hyde Park from Tom Gilmartin of Leitrim. It was in the first half. What happened was Colin Griffin was the corner forward for Leitrim. He was in St Mel's in Longford with me, but he was corner forward for Leitrim. And he got through one-on-one with me. And I, as a keeper, when you're one-on-one, you have to go out to meet him. You can't just stand on the line and let him kick, you know, you have to go and narrow the angle. But, as it happened, Colin was a very, very skillful player, and I went out to meet him, and I thought he was going to shoot, but he didn't shoot. But he dummied me, and he would try to go around me. So as he was going around me, I just pulled him down, because if I didn't pull him down, he was going to kick it into an empty net. If it was Premier League, it was a red card. But anyway, to make a long story short, I just took my chances. I pulled him down, and then Tom Gilmar took the penalty, and it was up at the graveyard end. I dived to my left, and. Yeah. It was sort of going down the middle. As I dived to my left, it hit me on my right shin and rebounded out to the left. It went out to the left. Didn't go back out to the player that took it. I sort of kicked it back. I knew it was going that, well, I didn't know it was going that way, but I sort of figured once I dived and he took the shot, I had to guess. I was guessing he was going to place it, but lucky enough, I sort of got enough of a leg on it to kick it out far enough that it was way to safety. You know what I mean? So it went out to the 21-yard line, out to the left. So I think that's the only save I ever made from a penalty. Saving soccer from penalties, all right.
When you were playing your Ireland days.
Yeah, soccer. Would you believe it saved some soccer? Last year, we were playing a local team. We were playing a team that used to come over from England to play us. And there was a penalty shootout, so saved a couple of that. But anyway, down the years, maybe one penalty in soccer. But Aidan, I told you about Roscommon's shocking Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final in 1977 down in Castle Island. And Olive Duffy, what a hero. Two penalty saves in one match. Probably a record for a Roscommon goalkeeper. That's brilliant.
So, I think it's a record for any goalkeeper.
Amazing.
Saving one penalty is good work, but saving two penalties in one game now.
So she was the hero. She's from Tusk. Roscommon were into the All-Ireland final in 77. And we mentioned Pauline Gibbons a moment ago. So Pauline Gibbons had gone off to join the Nuns in England. Sussex, and she couldn't play in the semi-final against Kerry. She wasn't allowed. So the other semi-final, Cavan beat Offaly, and the final was set for Hyde Park on the 27th of November 77. So it was delayed because of replays and different things. But Roscommon pulled off a masterstroke of publicity for the final. Sister Pauline had asked for permission to play in the final, and her mother superior granted her permission and special leave to play for Roscommon. So the television cameras came down, Aidan, you know. She became a celebrity, and it's even in the RTE archives. If you look up the video of it, she's on it. So there was a good length of football, and she was out of football a long time and no training, and her presence was inspirational, and the daily papers and the radio gave a lot of attention. And she, you know, over 3,000 people came to the game in Hyde Park, but unfortunately, Roscommon lost to Cavan by 4-3 to 2-3. So Pauline returned to the convent without an All-Ireland medal, and she never played for Roscommon again, which is, you know, it's a pity, but look.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
But I suppose the equivalent of that, like in Roscommon sport, would have been, as you might remember, Father Kevin McGeaney playing hurling for Roscommon.
That's right.
For many years. Yeah. A great man and an absolute gentleman. And
He was in South Africa too, wasn't he?
But he was a great hurler for Roscommon.
Brilliant.
Of course, he went into the coaching and I think refereeing as well.
Yeah, great man.
You know, that was good to see, to have the religious aspect to the Roscommon GAA.
Yeah, and also, if you look back in the past, Father Des Dockery, he was on the Roscommon team in 62. He was a priest as well, and he played under Des Cryan because he was a seminarian. And back those days, seminarians weren't allowed to play, so they played under their mother's name or whatever, an adopted name. So Des Dockery played for Roscommon, and he was an incredible player. Everybody says he was a fantastic footballer. So Roscommon lost the final, Aidan, but at a special presentation, the county board gave Pauline Gibbons in the Royal Hotel a Roscommon jersey with the number one on the back, and up to all her, for a lot of her time in England, it's at George's Convent, Burgess Hill in Sussex, the jersey hung there. But in the county championship, in the semi-final that year, 77, St. Comans surprisingly beat St. Barry's by 3-5 to a goal, and Strokestown beat St. Foyle in another semi-final. So in the final, it was a titanic battle at Enfield in Ballintubber, and St. Comans beat Strokestown 2-5 to three goals. So that was 77, so brilliant progress, Aidan.
And it's great to see the steps the ladies' game has. And May it continue on for many years. Like, I mean, when you see the sort of people that are involved now, former players, and of course the likes, as I just said there, the likes of Ollie Colgan and people like that, Decky Walsh, you know, all that getting involved. Yep. You know, I think, the future looks bright. And of course, you know, the structures, of course, the work done at club level as well, at the different clubs of Scotland Gales and all these clubs at underage, that's where it's essential, because as I say, without the club, there's no county. And I suppose the county is just that extra element that brings that gives them that extra bit at that age, and I suppose that's good. that when they go back to their clubs, they have great experience. But also it's the friends that you make along the way through the sport as well, like, you know, and the experience you get and things like that. And I suppose the fitness and you meet a lot of friends through it as well, which is great.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Like, it's social events at the end of the day and meeting the people and meeting your friends all over the county. Sure, if you look at it, Aidan, in Roscommon, without the football, we hardly know each other in Roscommon at all, you know, because Roscommon's a county that's bordered by numerous counties. Like, we're here on the Leitrim-Longford border, and most people go to school here in Longford, or like to do most of their shopping and stuff in Longford. Like, down in Dominic's area, they might go to Roscommon town, down Clan Bridget's would be at Lawn, Pierce's Ballinasloe, like Fringe Park would be over, you know, the Western Gales guys would be in Balladreen, and like the Roland's guys and Michael's guys would be down on Carrick and Shannon. So it's a spread out county, do you know? It's a county that you wouldn't be socialising to a great extent with people all over the county, but without the GAA, you wouldn't know everybody. You know everybody from the club, and everybody knows each other by it. He's from Pierce's, or he's from Ronan's, he's from Clan, he's from, you know, that sort of way. You know, you're known by your club, aren't you? Which is brilliant. You know, it's
your identity, I suppose.
It's your identity, yeah. But a shout out, Aidan, as well. Like, you know, I, before I finish with the Roscommon 1978 All Ireland victory, which is sort of like the piece de la resistance, if you like, the cream of the crop. The Roscommon ladies team have won the last two Connacht Intermediate ladies football titles. Like, and last year, Roscommon beat Sligo at McHale Park by 3-12 to 2-9, and Roscommon led by 1-7 to 5 at half time in wet conditions. Corner forward Rachel Fitzmaurice with the goal in the 30th minute after a crisp passing move from Natalie Limicue, Jenny Higgins and Siobhan Tully. Fitzmaurice was played in one-on-one with the keeper and put into net. Now, Natalie Limicue is from my club here, and she's a very good player. She's played for Roscommon for a long, long time.
They have a very good squad now at the moment, and I'd say it's not too far. I don't think there's an All Ireland or I don't think senior football is too far away for this crop of players.
Hopefully, Ed, hopefully. So we're coming, and hopefully, Michael, you know, they keep doing the great work they're doing. They're doing brilliant work. Look at the achievements. So we're coming to put a further dent in the scoreline with the dominant 5 minutes in the second half, outscoring Sligo 2-2 to a point. So that really put the game beyond any hope of Sligo's recovery. So that was a great, like, opening gambit in the second half to score 2-2. So Rebecca Finan and Ginny Higgins got the Scammon's goals in the first half, and Sligo didn't give up, and Elena Riley got a penalty for Sligo, and then Emma Keevy scored a goal for Sligo in the 46th minute. But Scammon kept Sligo at arm's length, and the Yates County went out an all-out attack, goal for goals in the final 5 minutes, but Michael Finnern's side prevailed to win their second championship in a row. But that shows good game management, Aidan. You know, like, it's, you know, like 3-12 to 2-9, they kept Sligo at an arm's length. Sligo put everything into it, but good game management. Roscommon saw it out by winning by 6 points, which is absolutely brilliant, you know. So, but again, I just finished by giving you the greatest moment in Roscommon ladies football, apart from the junior final in 2001, which we covered at the start of the program. Roscommon won the All-Ireland ladies championship in 1978, and Roscommon had 14 players. Connacht, I should say, had 14 Roscommon players, with Bernie Boland from Mayo being the 15th. Galway weren't available, and they won the interprovincial title by beating Leinster 1-8 to 1-5 in Offaly, and earlier they beat Ulster in the semi-final. But in the senior provincial championship, Roscommon beat Galway in by 3-7 to 6 points at Tuam, and then in the meantime Kerry were beaten by Tipperary and Munster, and finally Tipperary beat Offaly in the All-Ireland semi-final. So this was a good Tipperary team. So Roscommon, you know, were into the final. After that, first of all, Roscommon had to play Cavan in Breffni Park in the semi-final, and of course Cavan had beaten Roscommon in the All-Ireland final in 1977. So Roscommon beat Cavan 3-6 to 2-6 in a hard-fought semi-final. So that was amazing. So now Roscommon are into the All-Ireland final, at Ballinasloe against Tipperary on a wet, dreary day on the 10th of September 1978. And this was Roscommon's greatest hour. Conditions didn't suit the speedy Roscommon players. However, they beat Tipperary 2-3 to 5 points. Captain Elizabeth O'Brien received the Brendan Martin Cup from Tom Dowd, the ladies' Gaelic football president. During 1978, Roscommon were unbeatable. The coaching was by Michael Nocton, the county board secretary, and Pierre Rowe, with the help of Marie Holland, Parks Reynolds from Rooski, and Hugh Cox from Rooski as well. So no glory for the under-16 team. They were beaten by Tipperary in the final in Littleton. So 1978-18 was the pinnacle for ladies' Gaelic football in Roscommon. And with such success, it will always be difficult to emulate the feats of 77, 78 and 79. In 79, Connacht won the interprovincial title backbone by Roscommon players. They beat Munster in Tralee by 6-8 to 1-5, and then they beat Leinster at Johnstown by 1-4 to a goal. Elizabeth O'Brien was the Connacht captain. In the replay of the county championship in 1978, not held until March 79th, St Barry's, my club, Rooski, regained the title by beating St Comans, your club. So
yeah. nothing personal, Ray.
I just want to repeat that. In the 1978 yeah. championship, St Barry's regained the title by beating St Barry's, my club, beat your club, St Comans.
What's wonderful, Ray. What's wonderful. It doesn't happen too often, so you need to celebrate it.
So on the 30th of March 79, Elizabeth O'Brien, who seemed it was an amazing player, she got Roscommon's Female Footballer of the Year award. Presented by Roscommon champion at a function in Dabney Hotel. And Elizabeth, along with Ban Garda, New Leagan, and Margaret McManus, she was a guard as well, were to receive Ladies Football All-Star Awards for their football. So Lula is a neighbour of mine in Rooski. She living here. She was in Mayo all her life, but she's back. So the National League Galway beat Roscommon 164 at Tuam. And this was the semi-final in the National League. So Roscommon lost semi-final to Galway. In the kind of senior final, Roscommon and Galway drew in 79, 4-3 to 2-9. But back in Galway, the replay, Galway won by 1-6 to 2 points. Success at inter-county level didn't strengthen the clubs, unfortunately, within the county. There was a gradual decline in the number of clubs. So by 1981, ladies' Gaelic footballers no longer played on an organised basis, which is sad. By 84, there was a revival. But so that's a different story, you know, the revival. But so, given you the team from 78 in, you know, and as I know I'll repeat myself that there was four from my own area, New League and Carmel Brown, Trina Morden and Maeve Fallon. So like the Roscommon Daily squad of 78, they won the All-Ireland final, they beat Tipperary in Ballinasloe. Front row, Maura Cox, she was from my area as well. Maura Cox, Maeve Fallon, Olive Duffesy, Carmen McManus, Elizabeth O'Brien, Anne Dolan, Trina Morden, Madeline Tracy, Mary Degnan and Bernadette Gill. And then the back row on this picture I'm looking at was Elizabeth Gill, Anne Bailey, Margaret McManus, Carmel Brown, Geraldine Reynolds, Mary Mulhern, Peggy Gookie, New Leagan, Magella Conboy and Mary Sheehan. So Roscommon, as I said, were the backbone of the Connacht teams as well. So a little bit of history. Roscommon are back on the, you know, on the winning trail with Michael Finnerton winning two Connacht Intermediate Championships. But the golden era really was the 77-78 time when Roscommon won the two Connacht Senior Championships and played in two All-Ireland senior finals, losing to Cavan in 77 and then beating Tipperary in the final in 78.
That's very good. So that was, it was nice to kind of do Roscommon GA memories on the ladies' side as well, because we're all for equality on Roscommon GA memories, aren't we, Ray?
Well, no, it's fairness, like fair play. Yeah. Like, you know, these players
have had great success down the years as well. So I think it's good, like, you know, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, as time goes on now, the lady with this current crop of ladies get it, you know, the Roscommon ladies teams, we'll be able to feature them a bit more now, there's other games. So
I hope that Roscommon ladies senior football team are the last senior football team to win an All-Ireland senior All-Ireland, you know, in Roscommon. Yeah. They won the Brendan Martin, which is the flagship premier trophy in ladies football in the country. It's the Sam Maguire. So they won that in 78. So I hope the lads can coming. Hopefully we can, you know, we dare to dream, Aidan, but why not? If you don't dream, you can't realise it. And hopefully Anthony Cunningham and all the great players he has go and do their best to go as far as they can in the championship this year and in the years to come, and bring even more pride to the county like they did last year, which I always repeat myself in by saying they were wonderful, you know, what they did in 2000.
That's it, because well, I suppose, you know, dreams are there, dreams can come true. I mean, like, I'm sure if someone had told me or you, like, you know, that we'd have had the success that we've had, you know, in our player careers, like, you know, you playing in Croke Park, obviously it's every player's dream. No, I've never had the luck to do it, but you know that it's great to, you know, I'm sure we would have said, wow, that would be brilliant, but you know, but to actually, when you actually do it, then it is, you know, you don't think. I suppose John Dibley summed it up in the you know, year to Sunday. He says, you never think you're going to do it, or you think you could be playing ages before it does happen. You know, or, you know, so it just goes to show you, and that's the thing about sport too, you know, the people you meet, the places. I'm sure there's, you'll agree with me on this one, there's places I have been, and I'm sure that you have been, and there's people that I've met, and, you know, you probably wouldn't have met only for sport, and, you know, made a lot of friends through sports, you know, and have been great friends with ever since, you know, so. And you know, yeah, you're with them through college and even sort of work, and you know, in different parts of the country, and you'd be meeting up with them, and we say going away and different things like that, you know, and that's you know, nothing can buy that, you know, which is great from thanks to sport.
Absolutely, and you know, it's sports. It's brilliant, isn't it? Like, you know, the as you said, the friendships that you make and the experiences you have, and you know, win, lose or draw, all you can do is do your best, and as the man says, let's hope both Roscommon ladies and men's teams at all grades this year give it all they have. That's all they can do, give it their best and put in the work that they can do, and like, no, let's face it, Roscommon are underdogs. We're a small county population wise, Aidan. So, and our football teams in ladies and football and men's football have always punched above their weight. And like last year, they won the senior championship in Connacht and won the intermediate in ladies. So let's hope they can go and replicate
the talent
that.
Is there.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully they can replicate it.
And we'd like to wish both the ladies team and the men's teams, you know, at all levels, all the best, and all the club's team. As we know, Ray, the championship starts in Roscommon now this weekend, so it should be interesting. So we'd like to wish everyone involved this weekend. Of course, the hurling started last weekend, so we'd like to wish everyone all the best in the championship in 2020. I suppose a championship that I suppose a couple of months ago we wouldn't have thought was going to happen at all, the way things were going, but it's nice to see it, and hopefully it'll continue, and the only kind of pity is that there's going to be no provincial or all Ireland, but the main thing that any club wants is to win their county title, which is the most important one, and Anthony after that is a bonus. But listen, thanks very much for doing another great Roscommon GAA memories, and of course we're doing another tribute show this week again, aren't we, Ray?
To the late great Jimmy Murray.
That's it. So and again, once again, we're bringing plenty of sport to for RossFM listeners, and of course last week now I did a tribute to the late great Jack Charlton, and also thanking Ray as well for his contribution to that, and of course you also did you played the trumpet for that for the intro and outro for that show, so we'd also like to thank you for that as well, Ray.
And thank you for giving me the break on that, Ian.
No problem. Okay, you know, that this could be now you might be the next Johnny Carroll, you know, from you know, this could be the break you might get you might get a recording deal out of it.
Well, you never know.
All right, or you might get a spot on the R10 Boys band or something.
As the old saying is saying, in I'd be a bit long in the tooth for that now, but it was great to be part of Jack Charlton tribute show, and congratulations, Aidan. It was a great show.
Thanks.
Anybody that didn't hear it, I'd recommend them to listen to it. I think it was a great show. So
thanks very much. Thanks very much, Ray, and thanks very much for your pay
Thanks,
okay,
Ed.
Thanks very much, and that was former Roscommon goalkeeper Ray Lattman.